The nation's number one talk station, 99.3 Nigeria Info. Welcome to the second part of Daily Today, the big, big, big one. And yes, he's back on the show. I'm Sheriff Quadri.
Back to crisis. Good morning, everybody. My name is Jimmy. This is good to be back.
How was your holiday?
It was beautiful. You know, I was off social media.
Yeah.
I spent a lot of time with my two rascally grandsons. You know, I just chilled. And I recommend to everybody at some point, just let go. You know, just let go. I enjoyed nature, you know, within the means that I could. I enjoyed a lot of nature, you know. I had a very peaceful vacation, and all that was wiped out on arrival.
On arrival?
Benny doesn't look at me and I'm stressed.
Already?
Oh, no, he doesn't go to Enkwe. You're probably fresher than I am. I mean, how do you explain what you were talking about this morning?
This morning.
I watched it from Saturday. I'd been back over the weekend. I was in the studio on Saturday. And I'd been following this story. And everybody involved is a letdown. Not unexpected, but you will think that, oh, you see, when we, in the course of this election, we were highlighting some of the things that we're seeing.
Yeah.
I think I remember telling you that unless we find a way to nip this in the bud, there will be progression. How can a wreck do what that man did? How can a responsible adult? No excuse in the world can justify it. None. Even if he felt his subordinate was not doing the job, at least you will explain and say, this is why I am doing this. Nothing. And when I listen to you, might as well go into the story itself. Because
When
I was listening to you this morning, I wish I could call in to explain something. People need to sit back and watch that scenario again. That man was under some kind of pressure. Was he being blackmailed? Had he been financially compromised? There are some rumors making the rounds that maybe he took some $2 billion somewhere. These rumors always come about when it comes to elections. Money go pari passu. Wajon lo ibeji.
Yep.
They are twins. They go side by side. But if you look at the man himself was under pressure. So the questions that journalists need to ask is whose interest was who put him there in the first place? Who are his masters? If you look, what I saw that he did, my reading was that, look, I've done what you told me to do. You guys go and clear the mess. And as soon as I saw that, only to hear that he was suspended, I knew that there's more than meets the eye. That guy is representing some extremely powerful interests in this country. And the new thing in town, the new thinking in the block amongst the politicians is that I will do what I have to do. You can go to the court and settle whatever it is. So he played his part. Maybe the people who were supposed to follow suit, he couldn't have done it alone. Unless you want to take him for some analysis, he was representing an interest. And from his face and his manner, when they were telling him, you can't do this, and he knew that he couldn't do this, you understand what I'm saying? He said, well, I've done it, and that's it. That was the reading that I got from him. And it's very, very unfortunate. What is even more unfortunate is that Festus Keyamo forgets that he's the spokesperson of the Presidential Council of the APC. And he should have been a bit more careful before bringing out the tweet of congratulations. Because, you see, what we expect of our politicians is that at the very least, you should be statesmen. You should be conscious of your position. You should know that you want to contribute to good governance and good politics. But Ruben Abati made another point yesterday because I was watching him. Ruben said as at 11 a.m. on Monday, the tweet was still up. He didn't bring it down. You understand what I'm saying? What has now made it much more worse was that the candidate herself, who... You want to be governor. You want to lead your people. You want to set a good example. You should have known. I would expect a candidate like that to know the process and what the law says about whatever it is. You now went to court. For the court to do what now? for the court to do what? Everybody, that whole chain.
Is this a test for the court now?
It's not a test for
the court. Because the matter is in front of whether they want to see that kind of matter or not is right there now. And like you said, extremely powerful people.
And you see, go to court. That phrase "go to court" means that Ibeloma Chunchi. Have you heard the story of Ibeloma Chunchi? let me tell you this. I mean, in the midst of all this, let's have a bit of fun. So there was supposed to be one woman who would have this nocturnal visitor at night.
Yeah.
And then they put the son, her little son, they put him under the bed.
Ah.
So that, yes, well. So on this particular day, the man suddenly surfaced. So rather than put the son under the bed, it was the man himself that was under the bed. So when the woman's husband came in and said hello to the son, the man was under the bed, his two eyes were still. So they say, that's the background. So I've come again. The kind of thing you get from our politicians is they go to court, they know what is going to happen.
Hmm.
What we are seeing that is very, very frightening is the compromise of institutions.
Hmm.
A compromise of institutions, Sheriff. I would have thought that Mahmood would have been so embarrassed and enraged, he would have placed that gentleman under arrest.
Hmm.
Rather, you said he shouldn't go anywhere near the headquarters. What is he going to do? He's done the job he's supposed to do.
He's done. His job is done.
And you say you suspend
him. His job is done.
By suspending himself, you have given him better relief. He can stay back. He can go for Umrah. He can go on the vacation. He can go on the cruise. He's not, you know. You didn't place him under any arrest. The Attorney General did not call you to say that, look, this thing that happened could have led to a crisis. Even if you want to go as far as possible, you can head towards something like treason. Because the whole country would have burned down yesterday. But of course, our politicians are beginning to see that they can get away with anything in our country.
Hmm.
That's what it is. Well, my uncle Druti, I remember that. Because you can see. And you remember I told you from what we saw at gubernatorial and whatever, down to presidency and whatever.
Hmm.
I told you that this thing is going to be progressive. Let us see where all this is going to end now. They are going to announce the results on Thursday. Because they have now prepared a ground for a very messy situation. You asked one question this morning, that what would happen if any one of them is declared a winner. We are in for a long haul.
It appears.
Yes, the elections have been compromised. What you might get at the end of the day, if care is not taken, is that you have to do a complete rerun of that election.
Yeah?
Yes. It's been compromised. Because these election things is like a chain. Okay, from preparing beavers and all that nonsense, jaguarjantes that hardly ever works, all the way to announcing of results. The moment the chain is broken, you have to go back. It's like when you're taking medicine for typhoid. If you break the chain, you have to take the full course again.
That's right.
That I am sure that is where we are headed. If care is not taken,
is dicey who would accept the results?
Nobody would accept sex results, especially the people who are behind all this and haven't succeeded. They have laid a premise for only God knows how long it will take before Adamawa will be able to settle down to some form of governance. It's a pity that at the end of the day, it's the people that pay for all this. We are the ones who pay for all this irresponsibility. And the question I just ask myself is that how far can this political class push Nigerians? How far? How far?
That's a very deep question, though.
How far? Because
as if it's not this, far enough, Abi.
No, this brazenness has to be challenged. But everybody is being browbeaten into line. If you ask people, everybody now is living in some kind of fear. Let's be honest with ourselves. Everybody's been browbeaten into line. You understand? We had an election, so some people would come out brazenly and say, oh, don't vote for this and vote for that, and get away with it. The police say that he's joking. You have a commissioner of police who says there's child voting going on in his presence, and he says he cannot distinguish between a child and an adult. CP. You know, compromises down the line. Compromises down the line. If this is the democracy that Nigeria wants to practice, I'm not too sure I'd be happy to be a part of it. No, maybe I should just go and sit down as a pensioner under the palm tree, you know, mommy and money by degree or something like that.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's tiring.
You were just saying this one. Yeah. I've been involved in all this nonsense since 75. When I was in year one in university, we've been fighting tooth and nail, fighting. The man who led us, who led us back then, who was our manager, he faced his own challenge recently. Yes. Well, Olusegun Ika is my mentor now. Olusegun Ika is my mentor. I've always looked up to him, and I still do. But remember what Fashola said. May God not, what was he said? Something like, may God not let us face a challenge or whatever. He's facing his own now. Because he don't understand. A lot of the people in my generation and above don't understand or appreciate or fail to appreciate what it is to have good and peaceful governance in a country. And that's why the country is where it is now. Things are bad worldwide, understandably. And the social media has now not helped. Because the social media has allowed people who don't understand, who don't know their left from their right, to become the biggest spokesperson on earth. Once you have the money to buy the crowd, that's what it is. It's a pity. Because look, after the campaign that we had, all these elections that we have, Sheriff, can you name one striking issue that came up that you can say you are looking forward to in May 29? Let me give you an example. When Awolowo came in, was it 79 or so? When Awolowo came, we were all looking forward to the four cardinal whatever.
Yeah.
We were looking forward to Shagari's whatever it is.
Agenda.
Agenda and so on and so forth. Even at state level, we were looking forward to what Jackson did, which of course he did to the best of his capability and so on and so forth. In all the elections that we've had, countrywide, at all levels, can you name one thing that you would say has excited you and you're looking forward to? None. It was all about abuse because it lacks substance. And from what we are getting now, you're going to be having a whole lot of fuddy-duddies running this country again. My generation has refused to shift. May God help us all. Let's go to the next one, Abby.
Well, in fact, we're discussing your generation at 8 o'clock today.
Yes, they should. If the young generation don't sit up, we will mess them up again.
That's our conversation.
That's the honest to God truth. If the young generation don't sit up and plan. When I'm sorry to go this personal, but let me just quickly. When I heard Fashola's interview on channels about what the APC did, I marveled about the planning, about, you know, all the processes they went through, and the one they did not talk about. he spoke about the planning, how they
got it. And the one he avoided.
The one he avoided. By the time you combine the two, a younger generation have to play catch up.
Yeah?
They have to. You know, this, it took them by surprise. This OB phenomenon took them. They have to sit back and plan ahead. It's not going to be, like the Oga said, it's not going to be a tea party. You know, I don't know about telling you to grab it and run away with it. I cannot, you know, I cannot say that. But really, we need a generational change. There's no doubt about that. I don't care in what lap it falls in, but I have one phrase that I'm not the original, whatever the phrase, it's a common phrase. You cannot continue to do the same thing with the same set of people and expect a different result.
Let's go to the next one.
Next one.
This story is from the Punch newspaper. Fuel subsidy, FG begins 40% pay rise for workers, April ending.
Throw money at it. That's what we always do. And I've seen pay rises. I mean, I got to dodgy. Sometimes I sound like somebody who should be kept in the museum. This scary man in front of you, I got to dodgy. I got 6 months pay. I was working in the Ministry of Justice. We keep throwing money at the problem and he hasn't solved anything. I appreciate the fact that, okay, so to whatever it is to cushion, so what do you do in the public sector? You increase pay by 40%. No problem. but it's not going to do anything. The private sector can't afford to do that. Ask the handlers, the personnel in the private sector, and ask that they've even cut some salaries by 50% and laid off people.
Mm-hmm.
So you're taking care of government workers. What happens to the rest? So for me, it's not so much about money. It's about the real cushion that you provide. Can you, for God's sake, provide very good health facilities, good schools, good schools, good roads for people to not just throwing salaries at these things. It's not to look at the quantum of the salary. It's the worth. By now, I'm sorry to bust your bubble, but I'm sure some Baba landlords are adjusting.
They're warming up.
Call me that. Rents will go up. The whole process, it will go all the way around. Like
and
that.
Then the increment disappears.
We need to sit down, in all honesty, and take a critical look. Yes, the subsidy has to be removed because that in itself has become a racket. But throwing money at it, 40% salary rise, will just again fuel inflation.
Mm-hmm.
You know? What it calls for is, and there are people are not ready to do it. Our elite are not ready. Our political class are not ready. The first thing we need to do, for God's sake and for crying out loud, is to enhance probity in the handling of public funds and projects.
Yeah.
When you build a 10-kilometer road, 154% higher than the same road in Morocco, under the same conditions. That's what we need to bring everything down. Our politicians like to celebrate, oh, we have provided this, they're the dividends of, they're not dividends for everybody, it's dividend for their pocket. You'll be lucky if it gets done. You know, those are the things that we need to do amongst others, and not just throw money. But this story says that barring any last-minute change of plans, the federal government will begin payment of the planned increase in civil servants' pay by the end of April. So we are supposed to give them a round of applause. We will look and see what happens. By the end of May, we will invite one or two workers and find out if they're better off than that. We've been throwing money at this for so long. And what do we get? More and more and more and more inflation. Will the private sector be able to do so likewise? It is yet to be seen. And yet, because when we are talking about private sector, really, let's even start from simple things like transportation. Let's talk about how I was speaking to Inkiru the farmer the other day and asking her about how this trio, this is the three of them, Inkiru the farmer, Isioma the butcher, and so on and so forth. I asked them, when Inkiru told me half the story, I switched off the phone. How she found it so difficult to run her farm. Isioma too is not any better. Because he hasn't told me, I can't say what the real problem is. You know, to put infrastructure together, to keep it going, it's a big problem. Massive, not to talk of human capital. So we need to look at these things in depth. And part of the things that will help us in all this is good governance, good behavior for those in authority to lay good examples for our people to follow. But we won't do that. What we have is brazen. The kind of brazenness we have now, believe you me, Sheriff, I've been in military government for so long, is even worse than what we had in military government. Military governments were more stable than what we have now in terms of stability in governing. What we have is, to a large extent, is not governance in Nigeria now. What we have is racketeering. Across the board. Across the board. We see it every day. We feel it every day. And all of us seem to be handicapped. So, but that's the story here. 40% pay rise for workers. At least you'll enjoy it for a month or two before the reality sets in.
Indeed. Let's take our next story. This time, let's go to the Vanguard newspaper. Lagos Poll, Tribunal orders substituted service on Sanwo-Olu.
Oh, yes. This story. Now, let me explain what it is. The trend these days is when you're being sued by somebody, you reject. When the bailiff turns up with the summons, you reject it. So, continually, you have to do substituted service. And I don't think it makes it's too good for our legal processes. And the lawyers, indeed the judiciary, have to get, you know, behind, you know, and stop this practice. Because what this story says here is that, and this is my opinion, I don't know whether it's right or wrong, but this is just my opinion. It said that Sanwo-Olu has been evading the service of the petition by the bailiff. I think Mr. Sanwo-Olu, because he is subject to the advice of his lawyers, but he should also remember that there's a political side to it. It's bad that you have in the report that a governor is evading service. If a governor is evading service, it means everybody can do the same. It's not good for a judicial process. And I don't see how it affects the case, maybe because I'm not a lawyer. But I'd like us to be honorable in the things that we do. Mm. If a bailiff comes to serve you, whatever, you take it and sign for it. You know, let us set that example. This, I hope this report, maybe there might be some explanation. But to say, and now the court has now said, oh, okay, let's do substituted service and send it through a courier company and so on and so forth. I don't like the optics. It doesn't look too good. And our lawyers need to be careful how they advise their clients, because it's not just always about law. It's also about responsibility. There was an election. We are going to have a tribunal. They're going to serve you the summons. Whether they serve it, whether you take it or not, the case is going to go on. So let us use this. Let him sacrifice whatever it is to lay a good example, so that all this brazenness, you know, that we seem to perceive, will be a thing of the past. That's why I thought to highlight it has nothing to do with the case. This case is still on. I wish whoever wins, whatever it is. But I just didn't like this optics of saying that the governor. It happened even in all the tribunals. They would refuse to. A bailiff is supposed to be a very powerful court official and should be respected. Part of the respect means allowing him in, and you take whatever it is that is brought, and you sign for it. Mm. I don't know. You know, so that's as far as that goes. Talking about law, though, there's a Justice Digbe centenary that is coming up. The CGN, Fashola, Makiaki, and Azinge would be attending. Mm-hmm. And another good news here, the federal government has begun the registration of jobless persons in Lagos. I hope this has nothing to do with the money they were thinking of distributing, like the e-money or whatever it was called.
E-money, that's the name of a celebrity.
No, that's not that e-money, Ojari. This one that Oshibajo...
Trader money. Farmer money,
I understand they're getting some money. Is it from the World Bank or whatever? It's a racket. We shouldn't allow them to do that. Please put the money. But if we say to put the money into development, it will go into... I don't even know. Any which way...
Did you see your face?
Eddie.
Like, you can't even stop themselves. Whatever
you can't do, because where you can give, and let me tell you, this monetary intervention is done in drastic situations, like it happened during COVID, and it's done in a well-structured where you people pay their taxes through the bank or get their benefits through the bank. So you can just pump the money. But this one that you go to the market and say, trade that money, there'll be more estates in Abuja.
Yeah.
Mm. Okay, Sheriff, it's good to be back.
It's good to have you back. It's really good to have you back.
Yes.
I mean, look, man, I am tired, to be very, you know, I told you off air, like, I am.
Yeah, who wouldn't be?
I'm really exhausted.
I've been drained now. Look,
you know what crowned it all for me? That nonsense that happened in Adamawa. Like, I kept thinking, like how?
What crowned it up for me was the nonsense that happened in Lagos.
Yeah?
Ah, because the ripples are still there.
Hmm.
The ripples of the ethnic crisis that has been created is still there. It's not going away. And it's reverberated all over the world. I traveled during my vacation now. Hmm. It reverberated all over the world.
Imagine that.
Yes. You know, so this one was just like icing. After you have baked a nonsense cake, you now put icing on top of it. We do things without realizing the full implications. Mm. Yes, we do things in a hurry. If you look at that leg, if you look at the video again, say, well, he declared it. Oh, they met her.
No figure, no number, nothing.
Nothing. You could see that guy is either he was blackmailed, or he had the people who, if he had been compromised, were putting him in under pressure. Wait, Omo, remember that money is still in your account. We have the records. So he did what was supposed to do and left a crisis.
My God.
Like, I've done my part.
We have to go. Thank you so much. You'll be back at 9.
Okay. Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. All right, Lagos. And that's our show today. Thank you so much for coming. We're going to take a break now. When we return, let's talk about JD's generation and the young people. That's next.
It's midnight. You're on an important...
And I want to assume that you would run because I want to give the listeners context for the conversation.
In 2019, you were running late to Atiku Abubakar. What did you learn then that you will not repeat this time?
Yes, when is the president coming out to address us?
There's a few things. One, I have a burden and a passion for young people.
The fact that you have elected a man does not mean then you begin to order him around. The president will do whatever is good for the country at any given time.
Mr. Adesina, isn't the president responsible to the people?
What should the next president do to root out stakeholders who are complicit?
You fire those that need to be fired, go fired.
It's looking like a brand new Chelsea, attacking with so much fluidity. Now, what can you say about that, Martin? I know you follow Chelsea quite closely.
I live close to the Chelsea training ground. That's what you mean by that. I'm not a